Call to order this assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Glanville, November 12, 2014, at 7 PM. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Steve Pizonka. If you remain standing for the invocation, be given by members of the High Pit.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening. Today would be the anniversary of the birth of Baha'u'llah, the prophet founder of our faith. And I just want to read a little meditation, a short meditation, followed by a very brief prayer that he wrote. We have counseled all people in the most clear and eloquent language to adorn their characters with trustworthiness and godliness, and with such qualities as are conducive to the elevation of man's station in the world of being. This wronged one, Baha'u'llah, testifieth that the purpose for which mortal men have, from utter nothingness, stepped into the realm of being, is that they may work for the betterment of the world and live together in concord and harmony. Dissension and strife have always been and shall remain rejected by God. The books and scriptures and holy writings of previous ages have all proclaimed the joyful tidings that the purpose underlying this most mighty revelation is none other than the rehabilitation of the world and its nations, that perhaps the power of utterance may prevail over the power of arms and the world's affairs be administered through the potency of love. The prayer, we ask God, the true one, to invest all with the mantle of trustworthiness, for that is the world's comeliest garment. Thank you.
Thank you. One ceremonial matter this evening. Present Carl Johnson this plaque from Alaska Rural Water Association in recognition of from the Alaska Rural Water Association, Source Water Protection System of the Year.
This actually is probably more for Wayne McCollum, the water guys, as well as for everybody else for this type of board. This is basically protecting the water source, which would be security and zoning and things to keep the development from our watershed, and then goes on to keeping things from polluting the water around us, which would be our water separators and things we've done in the last few years. And so it's kind of involved everybody from the grant writers on up to the treatment guys, so not so much me.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
Roll call, please.
Assembly members Blake.
Here.
Pizonka.
Here.
Rooney. Decker.
Here.
McCloskey. Mitchell.
Here.
And Mayor Jack.
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Anyone have any amendments? Item 4, conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any item? Item 5, consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve items 6A, 7A, 7C, and 7D on the consent agenda.
I second it.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
I just had one minor correction to the minutes. Let's see which minutes. From October 24th, the second page at the top, something I said, let's see here. Assembly member Decker stated that she supports getting more value in jobs that were timbered, do not have large scale companies anymore. One small company in Prince Wales I think I said one medium-sized cup.
Okay.
Silly,
thank you.
But...
That's important. Thank you. I can correct that.
I'd just like to note the correspondence from Max Forshaw regarding the municipal internet access and media telecommunications. That letter that he sent.
I have already been in touch with Carol about that. That goes, at least in my opinion, goes toward infrastructure. If we ever want to attract new business to town, that's something that I think we need to work on correcting or at least improving on. So I had suggested sending that to the Economic Development Committee and letting them do some research on it and come up with possible solutions to it.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah, I mentioned this just the other day up at the fire hall, and one of the members up there mentioned to me that GCI is working on improving things right now, and they're hoping to get things moving along. So I don't know exactly all the technical sides of things, but it sounded like it was a major upgrade, so hopefully that will help to start to address some of this. But he may be talking about sort of superhighway, and they're talking about a road. I don't know.
Dirt road. Anything else? Anyone else? Call roll, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Borough manager's report.
A couple things other than what's written here, but I think the first thing there is Carl's going to be resigning here at the end of January. And I would just like to publicly thank him for all he's done and his hard work. I think there's very few people that understand or know all of the different things he's involved in. You know, you think about, you know, we get the complaints that there's potholes in the street, but it goes, that's the least of his worries, trust me. But he's an integral part of a lot of the grant writing we do, because most of them are revolved around public works projects. And even if it doesn't directly result or something that he's doing, he's involved in the project management portion of harbor things, water and sewer things, all of those things. Involved in a lot of our buildings. I know he helps the school when their main maintenance guy is out of town. Carl's kind of the guy that knows how to do the or helps with the all the controls and digital things that are going on there to run the place, and obviously for just our crews and roads and all that stuff. But there's a lot to that job, and anyway, he's going to be missed and hard to replace. So I'd like to thank him for his service to the city.
Yes,
I would like to comment that Carl has been a great help to me along the road, but he's going to be hard to fill his shoes. And you're doing two or three people's jobs. Is there any way we can talk you out of it?
I was going to say, what would it take to keep you?
Here's your chance.
It might cost more for my wife than me.
Carl, we appreciate your service, and you're going to be missed.
And the only other thing I'd like to mention is the Kaziar Street. They poured pretty much the last of the concrete yesterday. And there's, I think, one little piece remaining.
It's on the far end, so they have to wait.
It's on the far end, so they'll have to wait, but it's a small portion. So hopefully in 7 days or whatever it takes from yesterday, people can start driving on it. And I would like to thank the people up there, their patience, and receive, you know, a handful of issues that come up. For the most part, you know, those people were in the mud and everything else for a pretty good period of time, and so they hung in there, and finally we'll get them a street that they don't have to go through the mud on. So we're thankful for that. And there's still some other things that need to be done, matching up driveways to the concrete with rock and some things like that, but the paving portion was the concern because of winter and all those issues. So anyway, that should be pretty much done. And other than some of the other written part, that's about it.
I had a couple of questions on that.
Sure.
On it. First, have you decided on a replacement for Margaret Bavarma?
I think they're working on, did they decide?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ladies, it's, I can't
Valerie.
What's her last name? She is currently, actually, she's...
The janitor.
The janitor up there. However, she's working on a master's degree. The experience that she has in grant writing and all kind of other things that's going to be really valuable to the library. Mm-hmm. She's an extremely talented lady and...
She knows how to sweep the floors.
She knows how to sweep the floors, but I'll tell you, she is she's done some amazing things. We were extremely, and then we had other really good applicants too. But just all of the things and kind of the needs of the library, we felt was the very best fit for the library, and she's extremely hard worker, and the experience we've had with her, she's very dedicated and goes kind of above and beyond things, and had already, even before this, had found some, in her research, found some library grant opportunities and different things and had some neat ideas, and but yeah, she's extremely accomplished.
The other thing was on the solid waste. There's been some concerns expressed about us doing the job that we're paying someone to do if we're recycling, which when you put everything in the container as it is now, my understanding, it gets shipped south on the barge, then it's sorted there. Is that correct, Carl? Tell me, explain how this is going to work.
Right now, our garbage goes in those big containers, goes to Seattle, is put on a train, goes to a landfill in eastern Washington. There's no sorting or separation at all. They tip it into a landfill and it gets covered up. If we recycle, it would be a separate container, and they do have a sorting facility in Seattle for it, but they don't separate garbage there. They just take the recyclables and sort them in the process. So anything that comes in the garbage containers from any of these towns just goes straight to Washington and gets dumped in a hole.
So it would actually reduce the amount that we're having to pay to have our...
It would reduce if we pay $117 a ton to on average to ship our garbage and dispose of it, it would eliminate a portion of that. If you recycle 60 tons, you're not going to pay to ship 60 tons to Washington or to the landfill, but and then the cost of recycling itself is pretty close to the same. We're kind of trying to nail down whether it's a slight advantage or a slight disadvantage on cost right now through the final report that we're doing on the recycling. We're trying to figure in now the cost of customers reducing can size. So money into the garbage system when somebody has a 64-gallon can, they're not going to need that anymore. They would drop can size and probably pay less. So then there would be reduced income in the department. So trying to figure all the costs and savings at the same time.
And when is his report supposed to come?
I think it's due within a month here.
Yeah, I really don't think that pulling a couple of cases of cans out of a week is going to reduce anybody's container size.
Well, the idea was a commingled, so if you can pretty easily get 30% diversion on something like that, and you can get as high as 50%. So it wasn't just a single commodity. It was everything.
So
all your paper, all your plastic, all everything would go in one can.
Are we getting paid anything for the cans and the recyclables?
Yeah. So basically, the contract we have is you pay a processing fee for them to ship it. Well, it's broken up. It's shipping, and then it's processing. So the shipping goes directly to Northland or AML, whatever. And the processing fee is what they take to separate it and ship it to China and do all that stuff. And then we get back what comes in from
sale. Which amounts to what?
It depends on how much of it ends up in the end being cans, plastic, paper. But once it's all separated out, it's weighed and we get back what they sell from it. And it's, actually, I think with the commingled, they just give us there's a commodity price for commingled recycling. I think right now it's about $95 a ton or something like that. So that's what they would give us for it. I think without figuring in the loss of can size, I think kind of the one of the better cases was between 20 and 30,000 in savings, but if we do lose some of that, then that would probably make up for that, and you'd be back to around the break even.
And a lot of that, from what I understand from the meeting, would depend on the economy, stock market fluctuating up and down, that kind of stuff, so it would be a variable rate.
Go ahead, Steve.
Is there any advantage to us sorting further and not just sending out commingled trash?
You'd definitely get a higher commodity price. Like, I think aluminum cans are like $2,300 a ton or something like that, but you know, there's very much fewer of them. The thing that they run into just about everywhere they separate is the participation skyrockets as it becomes easier. So if you separate, you don't have as much participation, it's less convenient. And if you put it all in one can, people tend to recycle more. And the other piece of it is we can collect commingled recycling and with the same trucks and everything that we have right now, the garbage trucks, they make a separate second route and pick it all up. Where if you separated it, you'd have to keep it separated in either a separated truck or bins or something like that.
Okay, sorry, just a follow-up question to that. Is your report going to address the possibility of us hiring to separate here, if that would be a net wash, and we would create a job here in town versus Washington State?
Right. I can ask him about that. I suspect the difference is going to be the cost of an employee is going to more than overcome any potential benefit, but we could ask about that.
Probably $80 a ton difference, if I'm calculating that wrong, right? And I don't know if you could hire somebody to go through a ton of garbage for $80.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of the commodities are worth a lot less than that. The aluminum. Aluminum is by far the highest, but there's not all that much aluminum in the garbage, but for the most part, mostly paper.
Paper and plastic.
Okay.
Now, right now, the Boy Scouts do the collection of aluminum cans for the most part. That is what collection is done.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't want to see taking something away from them either.
I think we'd still want to encourage people to do that. And I think if we had a baler, we could probably make their operation a little more efficient too if they did, instead of shipping that van out that has, I doubt, 1,000 pounds in it, that we could bale it and it'd be a pallet instead of a bale, and they can get the money for it.
That'd be good.
Thank you. Unless somebody else has something. Anything further, Jeff?
No, that's
it. Well, thank you. Borough clerk's file.
Other than what's in my report, I don't have anything else. Unless there's any questions.
If not, thank you. Item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Do any other assembly members have any reports to make? Do it.
I just wanted to say I read that the tally as of today for the House District 36 seat is within 9 votes between the two candidates. So that's interesting. Stay tuned. I think it's the closest one in the state, the closest race in the state.
Don't we have to wait for the
They've started counting
military them. To come in?
Yeah, so I think the final counts will be, I think, next Tuesday, something like that. But, you know, it's something like that, they may have to do recount, depending on how close it is. It sounds like Senator Sullivan, and that's been declared, and the gubernatorial race is still close, but Walker inched a little bit forward, so he's ahead now by 1.6% of 4,000 something votes. So stay tuned.
Anyone else have anything? But we have no appointments for this evening, so we'll go on to persons to be heard. We have Stephen Cole. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record, please.
Steve Cole, 5 Mile Loop Road, Wrangell. Well, I know it's a little early to make any decisions on this, but the pot vote last week passed by quite a margin. And I've been, interested in pot since I was in college and wrote papers on it and tried it and various things. And it is safer than alcohol. And society's changed a lot since the 60s and 70s, and I think the population is mature enough to use it in a responsible manner. I read the Colorado law, and I've, read the Alaska thing that was approved, and I know the state has to write up regulations, but if they model it too close to the Colorado law, there's no way it can be profitable in a town this size. Because they're requiring more than what it would generate in sales. And it wouldn't do anything to close out the black market for pot. And say Ketchikan turns it down and Juneau turns it down. If people know that they can come to Wrangell and get high, I think it'd be a real boom to the tourist business. And all they want is a safe place to do something that maybe they didn't back in the 60s and 70s. And if we can provide that kind of environment, boy, I think it's a real win-win for the community. Now, as far as getting supplies up here legally, you can't mail it, and you can't ship it on UPS or FedEx or Goldstreak. So, and then getting a product tested in a lab, well, I don't know how they would do all that if you can't mail it and you can't gold streak it and you can't, maybe there's exceptions that you can do those things to get, quality, tested and stuff. But I just asked the city council not to throw any unreasonable roadblocks in the way, because licenses will probably be between 10 and 20,000, and based on what kind of camera system they want and what other kinds of security they mandate, it could easily cost between 50 and 100,000 to get set up. And my wife promised she'll divorce me if I open up a pot shop. But other than that, I think the city council should not pass a resolution stating we're against this and we're going to do all we can to make it unprofitable. Just, if anything, take no action until you see what the state comes up with. But don't come out of the gate being against it. That's all I have to say.
I'd just like to make a comment on it. I don't anticipate the assembly doing anything one way or the other on it. For one reason, we can't. It was approved by the voters of the state.
Right.
The city also, it is a violation of federal law.
Right.
No matter what the state says, it's still a violation of federal law. realistically, is the FBI going to come in and regulate people smoking pot on the street? I don't think so. Is the city going to pass an ordinance that says you can't do that? I don't think so. However, it being a violation of federal law, the city receives federal funding. And also, a lot of the agreements are based on the drug-free and schools and communities act, which is a federal law. And it could be, if the city supported anything to do with marijuana, we could, there is a possibility of losing federal funding.
I'm sure Colorado.
I just wanted to get that out there.
I know. Having a DEA license, they would not be pleased if I start selling pot. I know that. But Colorado and Washington have decided, you know, that they're going to do this. And I think a lot of states are going to follow suit. It's been a prohibition since like 1917. And don't kill it before it even, you know, don't prejudge the issue and make it too expensive for someone who may want to try and do this. That's
Mayor, I come from Colorado, and that law was passed when I left.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I left. But I agree with the mayor. There are federal laws that prohibit this. The borough itself is going to have a hard time positioning itself one way or another. Typically, and I actually lived in Alaska when marijuana was legal. And you could walk into any bar, and you didn't even have to buy a drink. You could walk out stoned. But back then, you couldn't buy it, and you couldn't sell it. You had to raise your own, and that you were limited to a certain amount. And I suspect what we're going to see in the end is that the people that want to engage in this is going to have to raise their own, and they're going to have to be limited to a quantity. And if they get caught selling, then they're going to go into the federal statutes. So I agree with the mayor. I think this is a position that we want to even engage in until the feds come out and say one way or the other how they stand on it.
One of the roadblocks is going to be your suppliers getting it here because it is still against federal law. You can't transport it on a ship because that's governed under federal maritime acts. You can't transport it in an airplane because that's also federal. So unless your supplier is willing to break federal laws to get it here, I don't see it happening.
Well, someone's getting it here now, so I'm sure someone can figure it out. Cool. We're not drug free or anything. So.
Work protection.
Somehow it's showing up.
The House of Representatives, U.S. House, you know, passed a law allowing banks to take pot money from these businesses, but it never got through the Senate. So, you know, right at this particular time, it's against federal law, but that could change, even though you think as Republicans as being super conservative, but they're also practical. Yeah.
Thank you for raising it, though, because I hadn't even thought about the implications for the community from that standpoint, and also from a business standpoint, that if it is legal in our state and there is somebody who wants to set it up, and we can avoid creating unnecessary roadblocks, and that creates more commerce in our community, then we need to look at that for sure. So I appreciate that you came out and reminded us of that.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.